Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. I'm Andy White and I'm joined today by...
Felice Ayling.
Hello, Felice. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you doing?
Working far too hard. Massive push in the other business this week. Almost slept under the desk. Ended up sleeping at a hotel. Anyway, less of that. Personas. I know that we've grazed the subject before, but we haven't got into it again for a while.
Yeah, we've touched on them before. So I just thought we'd talk a little bit about how you go about creating personas, why they're important, and what you can be using them for in your sort of day-to-day. Yeah, the idea of personas kind of moves on from sort of normal demographic data that I think most companies hold about their customers. You know, they kind of understand the breakdown in terms of male, female, or age range,
yeah,
possibly what kind of industry they're working in, what their job might be. But personas looks more at personalizing the understanding of your customers. So you actually start to build a group of composite characters based on things like needs and attitudes and beliefs, you know, motivating factors, what their pain points are, either around your business or around sort of other related topics.
So you're building up a model in your sort of marketing head of the theoretical people that might be interested in you.
Yeah, to the point where you can actually give them a name, you know, and a lot of companies do this.
Can you give them silly names?
You can give them whatever name you want, really.
Okay.
You know, you know if they've got pets, and if they have they got a dog or a cat or a hamster, and you know how many kids they've got. So you actually create this sort of make-believe individual people, and they form the basis of your core customer groups. And the idea is the more you know about your customer and each group, the better you can communicate with them. Because you understand what's going to connect with them, what they're going to like, what they're not going to like, what problems they really want you to solve, which just makes all of your marketing, all of your communications, your customer service, the way you outline your website, how you group products together, how you sell your services, just makes it all flow much better and just make it a lot more effective.
Because it makes it more tangible, doesn't it? It does remind me a little bit of, because I keep going on about software development because I'm a software developer. We have these things called user stories.
Yes.
Which is almost kind of the same thing because you're making a little story more real.
Yeah.
And it helps you to kind of work out how it should be working. I guess it's the same with personas and marketing, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I've seen them called user stories as well.
Must have been a software developer that called it a user story.
Yep, somebody up there somewhere. But again, I think, you know, in terms of content marketing, it's something that we, you know, that we do quite a lot. And I think, you know, from sort of maybe a more tech or web-based perspective, it would have been more around a sort of user journey. So, you know, what are the steps that a customer takes, you know, from sort of entering a site to actually signing up or achieving whatever goal it is you want them to achieve.
And of course, we covered user journeys recently, didn't we? Was it the last podcast or the one before, I think?
We were talking about digital disrupting.
Yes, the perturbation of the user journey.
Yes, it's all changed now. Yeah, so this obviously goes a lot wider because you're looking at not just what's happening on the site, but what are these people doing in their day-to-day lives? How do they use the web? How do they make decisions about purchases? Do they make them on their own or do they gather information first, go back and consult with a partner or family or, you know, asking friends for recommendations? You know, are they more engaged on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest? And I think, you know, there's so much information out there. You know, there's so many people live their lives online that actually there's no excuse for not knowing, you know, what your customers are doing. Because, you know, with a bit of time and, a little bit of research, you can, you know, pull these sort of characters together relatively easily. Obviously, there's, you know, depending on the size of the company, there may be sort of more work.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, how many personas, I mean, would it be obvious if you'd just got too many, like if it were like 200 personas or something?
Yeah, 200 is probably a bit too much.
Yeah.
But again, I think it depends on the kind of business. Yeah. And if you say, if you have sort of some very distinct services, so you might have maybe four or five distinct services, you'd be looking at creating maybe, you know, 2 to 3 personas for each one. So it's about the natural breakdown, and it's not necessarily creating a new persona for, you know, for maybe one specific characteristic that you can't decide on. It's about looking at it from a user need perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could be thinking about, say, if you know that, you know, one of your core customer groups, you know, is parents.
Yeah.
You know, if you're selling either children's products or sort of childcare services or anything relating to sort of parenthood, it's about understanding how, you know, how that group breaks down into potentially subgroups. So it could be, you know, expectant parents, or it could be parents that have several children and work full time, or, you know, do they have one parent at home, and does that make a difference in how they purchase products? You know, what is it they're worrying about or looking to be solved when they come to you? So it's more basing it on that side of things. It's about understanding how to personally connect with your customers and trying to answer and preempt the questions that they might have before they have to ask them.
So do personas differ from market segments? Are they different things?
They are, yes. I mean, the market segments, you would have some of that data. You know, when you're looking at creating personas, you would have the normal kind of data. So you'd have things like your age, location, gender, status, you know, annual, like income levels, education levels, all of the kind of stuff that you'd be using to segment your audience down. But with the personas, then you move it on and you're looking at the more softer insights. And it's that moving it on that allows you to connect with people and connect with your customers in a much more engaging way, in a more meaningful way.
Right.
And from the customer's perspective, they get that sense of, you really understand me and you understand what I'm looking for. Which is, you know, then when you can really target, so you're doing more with less. You know, if you've got your basic customer data and you've got your basic segments, you can, you know, that does obviously help. But if your competitors or other people in your industry understand your customers better, you know, they're always going to have the edge. So, you know, it's about moving it on to a point where you're putting the customer needs and, you know, the customer's personality right at the heart of everything. So you're not just delivering the service that people are looking for, you know, the right time, the right price, all of those kind of things, but you're delivering it in the right way, you know, and you're delivering it on the platform that the customer's on rather than making them come to you. You're engaging with them around the conversations they're already having. And it just gives you, you know, it just gives you such a...
It sounds like personas are broader and deeper than segments to me.
They are. I mean, like I said, you know, by the end of it, you would have a person. And that, you know, that would look, you know, could look like me. You know, you'd understand everything about me. You'd understand what makes me tick, what I'm interested in, you know, what's going to put me off, you know, what's going to excite me. So it means if you're sending communication out there that's aimed at me, you know, I'm going to connect with it. Because it's, you know, it's aimed directly at me rather than just somebody in my age group, or, you know, that may be female and the same age and living in Brighton. You know, there's still quite a large range within that group of things that we are going to be interested in.
Yeah. So what about processes, Felice? I mean, for example, what should you include when you're sort of outlining a persona?
Yeah, well, there's, I mean, it can be quite a piece of work, but done well, it's worth it. I think normally we'd, you know, if we're talking to people about developing personas, depending on how far they're at the moment, the normal channels would be, you know, market research is a big one. So you can, you know, actually get a company to go out there and survey you know, a proportion of people. You can, you know, if you know your market segments, your basic level, then obviously that, you know, that can help. But, you know, design some questions that are really going to pull out from your customers what, you know, what you want to know. That company will then analyze those results and pull out those key trends for you and help you to understand how they relate to your business and how they relate to the different channels that you have on offer. Things like customer surveys work really well. So, you know, just asking customers, sending out, you know, sending out a survey to them and saying, you know, what is it you like about us? What is it you don't like? What would you like to see better? Would you recommend us to a friend? All of those things can really start to help you understand if your customers had a...
I never fill those in, you know. In your experience, what sort of hit rate do you normally get with those?
Well, I mean, it can vary. And actually, people not filling them out can be sort of maybe an indication that you haven't got it quite right. But I think you can, you know, you can incentivize, you can, you know, take email addresses and, well, obviously you have to get email addresses, but you can take, ask people to submit their details and enter them into a prize draw. They normally work quite well. You know, if say you're a clothing company offering vouchers, you know, can be a nice way to get people just to fill them in. I think make them as easy and simple as possible for people to complete. And obviously don't go back too far. So if a customer, you know, is quite an old customer, perhaps hasn't interacted with you for about a year, the chances are they're probably not going to fill out a survey. And it can be something that you can run over a couple of months as well. So you could, you know, start off with customers you've interacted with over the last 3 months and then do it for all new customers and just follow up with them sort of fairly soon after their purchase.
Okay.
But that kind of data can, you know, can really help and give you such, you know, such valuable insight into what your customers actually think of you. I think some, you know, some companies might be a little bit afraid to do that. But I'd say, you know,
case of what they might find out.
Yeah, you know, you don't, you never know. You never know what your customers think of you until you actually ask them.
I wonder if banks ever do that. Sorry, I digress.
No, I don't know. I think my bank had a one of those surveys pop up when I signed in. And I was like, skip it. You know, if I'm signing in, I want to look at my bank balance. I don't want to answer a survey. So, you know, when you ask is also quite a good one. You know, often following up with an email, these little pop-ups that come up on the screen when you're looking for something, you know, that they can be quite good, you know, if somebody's got a lot of time. But if somebody's come to your website and they're looking for a product, I wouldn't recommend putting a pop-up. No. And asking people if they want to complete a survey, because the chances are they've come to the site to do something.
Yeah. Or come and read this interesting article, and then 5 seconds after you load the page, a pop-up obliterates it, which you can't remove in a mobile.
Yes. Yes, I had that the other day, and I just left the site. I thought, you're annoying me now. You know, how to put off customers before they're even customers. So
we are ranting a lot today, aren't we?
We are ranting. Yeah, well, there's, actually, we could do this as a podcast, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Most annoying.
The weekly rant.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, most annoying website functionality ever. Autoplay, don't even get me started on autoplay videos. Anyway, back to personas. So customer research, and I'd say don't be afraid of hearing negative things about your brand. You know, often we find with, you know, we talk to brands quite a lot. You know, we talk to them about their kind of offering and their USP. And we find when we talk to brands on a personal level, when you're talking to the marketing manager or the CEO, what actually comes across from them just doesn't correlate to their web experience or the communication channels. And I think sometimes brands actually don't know what's special about them until somebody else points it out. And so you may find, you know, you may find you get a bit of negativity back from some customers, but you may also find that it's your customers that tell you what they love most about your brand. And it could be something that you weren't even aware of.
That's interesting, actually. That's very interesting. I never thought of that.
No, and we had, we have a client and, we did a bit of a review of their, reviews, where people obviously have bought their products and then gone online and done a little video. There was sort of certain themes that were coming up about the service that they really loved. You know, and basically they sell this product and it's one of those products that you think once it's been opened and used, you can't send it back if you change your mind. But they provide like a small section, almost like a trial sized pack with the, you know, with the product. And you can open that trial and if you don't like it, you can still send the full one back. That was a winner.
Yeah,
For their customers, a really big winner. But you go onto the website and obviously they show you the packaging with this small bit attached, but there's no selling of that really anywhere on the website. You go to the homepage and it's not explicitly outlined to customers.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that takes the risk out of buying. People are much more likely to purchase if they know that, you know, if there's anything at all wrong with it or if they just don't like it or it doesn't match, you know, they can send it straight back. So, you know, sometimes getting customers' feedback can really, you know, just give you a bit of insight into what they think of you. You know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a massive project. You know, you can do something like, you know, SurveyMonkey is free. You know, just design up some questions.
Yeah, this is this online survey creating system.
Yes, that's right.
Form.
Yeah. you know, and they have templates in there as well. And they've got things like customer satisfaction templates. And so they've got a lot of the questions designed for you. You know, you can just send it out to your customers and, you know, offer people prize draw entry or something if they fill it in. You know, just watch the results come in and, you know, just see what people say about you. If you wanted to take a step further, if, say, some things came up in the customer survey that you thought you'd like to explore more, customer working groups, they can be quite good, which is, you know, you can either do it on the phone, so select certain customers, you know, and just have a bit more of an in-depth conversation with them. Or bring customers together in little groups, have working groups with them and, you know, maybe present them with, you know, some alternative concepts or just run them through a few scenarios. And again, it just, you know, starts to sort of build up a bit more of a picture about what people enjoy about the brand and what they don't.
Sure. So that's actually getting customers into the office, effectively.
It can be your office, if the brand is quite interesting or the products are quite interesting, it's sometimes quite nice for people to come in and have a little, you know, look-see about what's going on in the background or the chance to meet people and just have an input, especially if they're a regular customer.
Yeah.
Have it actually being able to come in and say what they like about you as a brand, you know, it can be quite a nice sort of engagement exercise on its own.
What I'm really interested in actually, Felice, I know that having experience in working for quite a few companies over the years, I know that often companies either have a very small budget for things like this or a very small sort of or no marketing department.
Yeah.
What would you say to, because I know a lot of our listeners are quite, sometimes are one-man bands or they're quite small. What would you say to people like that perhaps don't have the resources to do a big sort of operation?
Obviously things like the market research and customer insight works up to that, you know, can get quite expensive. But there's actually quite a lot you can do with actually just a little bit of time and a computer. So, you know, you could still do something like a customer survey using something like SurveyMonkey, you know, make it a little bit smaller, maybe doing a slightly smaller selection. But things like just having a look at your customer service records, looking at how are calls being dealt with, how are inquiries being dealt with, how many complaints do you get and what are those complaints? And just see if there's any running themes. Are there you know, just common questions that people are asking over and over and over again. If so, then, you know, that's a sort of clear indicator that's a question that you really need to answer on the website, because it may be people are calling because they can't find that information. Doing things like a bit of keyword research can be quite helpful. AdWords, you know, Google AdWords is very good at that. You know, you can put in obviously the kind of main keywords for your brand. And what it will do is it will come up with alternative searches, and it will come up with kind of related phrases as well, and longer tail keywords. And that can start to give you a bit of an insight as to what your customers are actually searching for. So, you know, it could be that they're not, you know, they're not necessarily searching for your product by name. They might be searching for, you know, it could be the sort of query base, like the how do I, what's the best way to, and, you know, looking at obviously things like location-based search as well, you know, those people that are searching within specific areas, are they searching slightly differently? Which again, you just start to give you a bit of, start to build up a bit of a picture. Reading articles and blogs that are written for your customer group as well, they're really, you know, they can be really interesting, especially the ones that, you know, that are quite well known or are quite popular, because they will understand their audience really well. So look at what they're saying and how they're saying it, and look at the kind of comments that people are leaving. You know, read what they're saying.
That's always very interesting.
It's really and it is, you know, like I said, you know, coming back to the you know, the parent thing, you know, if you're looking at, if parents are a core customer group, you know, go on to things like Mumsnet and look at this sort of the popular topics and what are people engaging in around that, and how can you relate those issues back to your business. And it's, you know, not necessarily about looking at just your service. It's about what else can you be talking about that's linked and that's going to be of interest and help to bring your customers in and through other channels. And speaking of channels, you know, just looking at whether there are different conversations happening on different platforms. So, you know, if you're looking at the types of groups people are engaging with on Facebook, are they different? And are the conversations different? Are the topics different to those that are happening on Twitter, or Pinterest, or within the YouTube comments? You know, and again, that starts to break down some of that, this particular persona group. You know, it's much more active on Twitter. So if we're looking at promoting services, or we're looking at getting onto Twitter, these are the people we're talking to on there, which means that you're not saying everything to everyone, and you're just, you know, you're just getting lost in the noise. You know, most people would have analytics loaded onto their website. You know, normally for the sort of persona stuff, you'd need someone, you know, fairly expert level to start pulling out that kind of data. But even just a bit of a play around, you can start to see, you know, think about the steps you would expect a customer to take on your website.
Yeah.
And just, you know, have a look at the user journey data and see whether that's actually reflected in reality. You know, are people going to product pages and then going to the help section, or then going to the contact us and calling you? You know, while that may be a good thing, you think, oh, brilliant, they love the product, they're calling us, it may be that they're calling you because they've got a question that's not being answered. You know, so things like that, and just having a go at maybe, you know, updating stuff and, you know, testing new content on the website and seeing if calls go down or purchases go up. And it's worth just sort of that kind of testing assumptions based on, you know, the research.
And all this helps you to develop those personas.
Yeah, and it's about really, you know, really caring about your customers, genuinely wanting to get to know them. You know, the end goal is nearly always, you know, to increase revenue or increase brand awareness, and purely kind of selfish, I guess, goals. But if you take the approach that, the, you know, that you want to engage with your customers on a more personal level, you know, that's actually one of the best ways to get to that end goal. And making them feel like you care, making them feel like you're the kind of brand that gets them more than the others. You know, that's when you'll start to, you know, see that kind of level of customer advocacy and repeat customers, and, you know, things like reviews and recommendations going up. And then, you know, run a survey again in 6 months and see what people are saying about you then.
It really highlights, actually, that, I mean, you mentioned a couple of times about looking at data. And it really highlights the importance of saving that data, capturing it and saving it. I mean, you mentioned, for example, you know, the types of calls that come in, and user journeys on the website and stuff like
that. It's so important. You know, I mean, obviously data has to be used alongside, you know, a bit of insight. You know, data, you know, can tell you whatever you want. We've heard all about that this week. You know, the data you collect is going to be so valuable to you. And I think, you know, I know a lot of, you know, still a lot of companies that don't record their calls, that don't make a note of their customer inquiries, and you think you're missing out. You know, every time a customer interacts with you, you can gain insight from that. So record everything, keep a note of everything, you know, track as much as you can on the website, get analytics installed if you haven't got it. You know, there's so many how-to videos and tutorials and things on there. It's never been simpler.
Maybe we should have a separate show all about how to record your customer interactions.
We will, actually. I think we've got Jerry coming on the podcast in a couple of weeks.
Talking about that very subject.
So he's been doing a bit of building on this, creating personas.
Honestly, listeners, this wasn't planned. I didn't realise Jerry was coming on
the
couple of weeks.
No, it's just pure coincidence. So he's going to be talking about building personas from a data perspective.
It'll be nice to hear from Jerry again. I think we've only heard from him
once, haven't we,
so far? Yeah.
We're really keen to get him to do some more. He's a real data whiz.
Has a very soothing voice, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah. Well, with that, I think we should probably call it a day. Thank you very much for listening. So listen, go out and develop your personas, your virtual hypothetical clients and customers, and that will help you in your marketing journey. So brought to you by Site Visibility, of course, the website sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast is where you're going to find the podcast. podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk is where to send emails. And if you want to ask a question or leave a comment, an audio comment, then +44 1273 256 150 is the number to call. And of course, you can find us on iTunes, and we love reviews and ratings, don't we, Felice?
Yes, we do.
So we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.